Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Will you come talk about the Hawaii response, Mr. President?
No comment. He said no comment. He's on the, what, how do you pronounce that beach? It's in Delaware. Steve, you know, you're a Northeastern kid. How do you pronounce that? Rehoboth. So anytime something comes up and we don't know how to pronounce it and it's like Northeastern, we're going to be like, Steve, hi, yeah, can you, can you join us for a pronunciation class? Welcome back to the show. It's Monday. I hope you had a good weekend. Dana Lash here with you, sitting at the top of this first hour. And so the president is on vacation again. Don't you judge him. Old people need their vacations, apparently. Ancient old people, barely sentient old people, who are president of the United States, who've spent how many days? It's over 365 now. Oh, it's over 40%. I thought we were nearing 45%.
Oh, no, I think it's right around 40.
Okay, so spending a significant portion of his presidency on vacation. Okay, that's all right. It's just, you know, the rest of us, you know, you get like a week. But hey, you're not president of the United States, but he's not doing anything. That's the thing. It's everybody else. And normally I would say, oh, it's great. I like the fact that he's not in D.C. because he can't do anything. But that would be me pretending that he actually is making some of these decisions, which we all know he's not. So no comment on the fires in Maui. Now, my first thought upon watching that, and I'm going to get into the latest with it, because the death toll, sadly, has increased. I mean, it's just horrible. It's just awful. I mean, people were swept out to sea. It's just horrible. And latest in terms of the devastation and everything else, I think they were nearing 59 fatalities. The toll keeps increasing, so that's why people are very hesitant to put any kind of finality on any sort of number, just because, I mean, they're still finding people, but just horrible. And the president was asked about it because he hasn't made a comment about it yet. He hasn't said anything about it yet. There's been no comment there. He hasn't said anything. And the response was, well, you heard it. No comment. I don't think he's slated to make. And I was looking actually while I'm talking to you all, I was just refreshing it to see maybe if there's an update. Maybe he's going to give a little, you know, something. Nothing. There's nothing scheduled either. So that's really wild. And it's wild because I remember, you all remember, what happened when George W. Bush was in office and you had Hurricane Katrina. He was blamed for it. I mean, they acted like George W. Bush went to the Gulf and you know, stuck the tip of his pinky finger in the warm waters of the Gulf. And from that power created Hurricane Katrina and then directed it like a heat-seeking missile towards New Orleans. Remember this? And then he was accused of being a racist and not caring about black people by Kanye West. Mike Myers' reaction was still priceless. But every single time you've had any kind of Republican office, I mean, they pretty much blame. And I will say, remember, the leadership in Louisiana and New Orleans at the time, I mean, when you have the governor that doesn't call out the National Guard, and that's the governor's job, and they don't actually prepare, as they found out that all the money that they had for these reinforcements against flooding, et cetera, that money had kind of been appropriated for personal reasons by people in power who are corrupt. Oh, boy. Then the fit hit the shan, as we would say. But man, so the media's treatment of Biden, though, it's, I mean, they're defending him. Oh, he's on vacation. Don't interrupt him. He's on vacation. That's unacceptable. I mean, come on. So, by the way, you know what he's doing? You know what Biden is actually doing over the weekend, like this coming up weekend? He's going to Lake Tahoe, and he's going to spend the week there. So he's at the beach in Delaware, and then he's going to go to Lake Tahoe for vacation. My gosh, I want that job. I want the job where you know, you don't do anything and you get a check. So it's called welfare, really. I mean, he's treating the office of the president like welfare. It's a welfare office. He's acting like he's getting a welfare check. So while all this has been happening, the horrible, I mean, just been, it's just been awful to watch all of the devastation in Maui. And we've seen a lot of people coming together. And of course, they're telling everyone, don't vacation in Maui, etc. Although some of the, I think some of the people that were out there that were, I will say, cut some slack to the people who are already out there vacationing when everything, all hell broke loose and they are on a different part of the island. They're not out there like to spit in anybody's eye. I think that everybody on social media, it's a symptom of people living too much of their lives online. There's a reason I haven't been on Instagram hardly at all, because I hate it. I hate it to death. Can I be honest? I don't give a rat's ass about whatever stupid product you're trying to push. I don't care. I don't care. You're not sponsored by something. It's not. It wouldn't be behind a firewall that or a paywall that costs cash if you didn't push a sponsor. I don't care. I'm getting to the point where I just choke. I don't ever get on Instagram and share anything anymore because I just can't stand Instagram. Everything is so curated and so fake. And if you're and anything that's authentic just doesn't hit anymore because everyone wants completely polished garbage. That's such our society. It's also politics. Case in point, 2024. I remember when the worst part of the Iowa State Fair, the most awkward part, Kane, was it was politicians who were eating corn dogs. Guys, you guys know this. I think one of the worst was Rick Perry trying to take a bite of a corn dog. Because Iowans, you know, they're very serious about the corn dog, right? I mean, there is like a whole ratio of, you know, meat per bread. And how much meat on the stick. And it's just a very big, and it's a very big deal. You got to eat the corn dog when you're there. And I think politicians got wise to the fact that we got to hide how we're going to eat this. Although some of them have still fallen to it. But I used to think that that was the worst. I did. And then someone dropped me this. And I'm sorry, if you're, he's Gen X, he's not millennial. I can't stand this thing where people are born in the 70s and 80s and their early 80s. And they're like, I'm a millennial. Shut up. No, you're not. But I can't. So Vivek Ramaswamy decided to do karaoke of Eminem, who, by the way, just dropped a video last week going off on Trump. I mean, again, going off on Trump. And he decided to karaoke Lose Yourself, which I will say, I think almost everybody can do, but people don't because they have taste. Okay. So I just want to say, if you are in any way, I don't care who you are. I don't care what politician this is. Don't do this. Can I just play? I got to do it. We got to, this is newsworthy. It's news and it's fair use. So bite me, censors. Go ahead. Go ahead. Kill us all. We're going to die a cringe. My favorite are the people who are just standing totally still. They're just standing like still as statues. I mean, it's they're standing as still as a cigar store statue just outside the doors, right? They're just standing so still. Don't do that. Don't do it. So this is the new corn dog. Okay. It is, I think. I don't know. I don't know how well that goes through with people in Iowa. You know what I mean? I just don't know how well that transfers over, right, to folks in Iowa. I got some questions. But I don't know. I just thought that was kind of, oof. And then people were like, he's having fun. Stop. You know what? Can we just stop on that for a moment? Let me tell you, when I hear that, let me tell you what I'm thinking. I got kids who are draft age. We got all hell breaking loose on either side of the United States. We got China that's flexing over South China Sea, which could obliterate trade and put everyone into supply chain hell. We've got money being laundered by the billions upon billions over Ukraine. We have weaponized government agencies going after parents for just trying to exert their rightful legal control over their minor children. We're spending just a godforsaken amount of dollars in taxes and getting what out of it? A richer Biden family. I watched a video of a cop who touched accidentally, inadvertently, as they were making an arrest, touched some fentanyl and about died. Had to get revived by Narcan. And everyone's like, oh, well, if you ingest it, not necessarily, say some experts, they kind of go back and forth on it. You know, I've been seeing all of this. I see that our country is just on a precipice. And you're sitting here telling me that some people want to have fun. Some people want to have fun. We got people going broke, but people want to have fun. We got moms and dads out there wondering if this addled, aging McCheese Unity president is going to drag us into World War III. And you're saying, oh, let's just have some fun. It's time to have some fun. We got people going broke. I got elderly people in my family wondering what the hell's going on with their 401k. And you're sitting here telling me, oh, well, let's, you know, it's just people just want to have fun. Hard times make strong men. Good times make weak men. This is not a good time kind of scenario. I don't need people freestyle rapping. I want to see the seriousness of something because we feel serious. It feels serious enough for people to, I mean, you see how everything is so tribal and so hyper-partisan. Clearly, that is the sentiment of the country right now. I mean, we're watching the price of gas increase. You're watching your national security be sold for Biden family influence, the Biden brand, to China. But you're telling us to have fun. No, this is not the time to have fun. This is the time to kick ass and take names. It's not the time to have fun. I don't want to sit here and for people to show me how well they know the lyrics of a guy who I can't believe. How many videos has he released like going off on Trump? Because that's like, you know, apparently he needs to do that for attention, like solar powered calculators need sunlight to work. I don't know. What is it? That doesn't impress me. I'm wondering, OK, well, what are actual real things here? Why can't you thought that J6 was all the previous president's fault and then you didn't. You thought Big Pharma was bad, but then, you know, just a little while ago, you were wanting to create a database helping Big Pharma track stuff. So which is it? You know, you thought wokery was bad, but all your companies got ESG, DEI, ABC, XYZ departments within them. So which is it? You know, I don't need the distraction of someone sitting here like pulling a basic, you know, South County in a bar karaoke stunt. Only Kane gets that reference. That's right, Kane. I don't need that. Don't sit here and tell me how to have fun. We don't have the luxury of having fun right now. We don't have the luxury of it. Yes, be a happy warrior. But this is the time where you got to actually convince people and persuade people. This is the election of all elections. I'm not going to be able to say that about the next election unless we win this one. But this is the election of all elections. And I think that it deserves the seriousness with which, you know, that reflects the state of the nation, the seriousness that reflects the state of the average American's wallet, the seriousness that reflects, you know, the anxiety that parents are feeling as they're looking at their kids, wondering if they're going to have to ship them off somewhere to serve in some foreign country to defend over a land dispute. This is the kind of stuff that we're all thinking. So, no, I don't feel like having fun right now. I feel like doing something else. We got a lot more on the way. We're just getting started because we got more about the Iowa corndog edition. Latest with Maui. We've got some culture, law and order. Hey, apparently, did you know Nordstrom and Canoga Park, it was 100% off sale. Do you know that? Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. values. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I bet when you take a weekend trip, the last thing that you have on your bingo card is being mauled by some angry otters. But according to this piece, this is in Bozeman via our friend Larry, a Montana woman was left with a face full of stitches. Not just her, but her friends. They were tubing down a Montana river. Jennifer Joyce and her friends, they were enjoying an evening of floating peacefully down a wide stretch of Jefferson River near Bozeman when the otter descended upon them. And they said, this is like Monty Python with a rabbit, but it's an otter. She said it bit her face in all these places. She said her friend's thumb was shredded. The three women were essentially trapped on the river. By the time they were able to get their bearings and the dust settled, one woman was on one bank, another woman was on the opposite bank, and one woman was stuck on a rock in the middle. And so the women on either side of the bank had to throw rocks in the water to save their friend from being attacked further by that otter. They said that they would try to kick it away, she said, but then it would just attack somewhere else. She said it never actually let go. The way they described it, I mean, it's crazy. She said they didn't think they were going to make it out of the river. The photos are horrific. They have stitches all over their faces, their arms, their legs. Angry otters. So beware. This is a crazy story. Listen to this. This is in Kansas. So Marion County. The story is that this newspaper was got a tip about this business owner. Someone was saying that this business owner was engaged in something nefarious, and the newspaper didn't really believe the source, so they contacted police and asked if there was an investigation. And the police raided the home of the business owner, seized these records from her office and home. The 98-year-old business owner collapsed and died from the stress. The woman was so stressed out, she died. And then the co-owner of a local paper, they said that this is just crazy. I'm shocked by all of this. I'm like, look, I'm going to come back to this because I feel like, how does stuff like this happen? The newspaper said that they were there's legal action going to happen, all this stuff. I'm going to come back to this because this is kind of an interesting story. And I think also, I don't know. This is, you got to be able to trust your media too. A couple of other things here. I don't care about the weekend. I don't care about this. DeMar Hamlin plays an NFL preseason game with the Bills 7 months after going into cardiac arrest. So that's, I mean, he's back on the field. He did say that he was a little scared about going back. So, and we got a lot more. We got some stuff on Maui. Some of the really amazing stories that have come out in this and so much more. Stick with us. As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free. And it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
I think that we very, very much need to acknowledge that climate change is upon us. There are whole states, by the way, Jake, where you can't even use the words climate change because they still have a hit in the sand attitude. But for example, the Inflation Reduction Act provided some $300 billion to combat climate change and to move us away from continuing reliance on fossil fuels.
So that's Mazie Hirono from Hawaii. And I got some issues with some of the stuff she's saying here, obviously, as you do too, like it's not climate change. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour, listen coast to coast, stream it, watch the simulcast, YouTube. DirecTV channel 347. all kinds of good stuff. So, okay, this, I'm going to pull this up because there were a question. I saw this circulating. People were asking about the role of the power lines. That's what I was trying to, the power lines in maybe perhaps this, you know, the start of this wildfire. And one of the, in fact, it's a couple of different law groups, Singleton, Schreiber, and the France Law Group, say that, you know, they were looking at the ignition source of the fire. And so one of the firms investigating, according to New York Post, said that it's the, you know, damaged infrastructure, like Hawaii Electric. They said their equipment could be the source of ignition for this. And they said that everything that they have seen in their investigation is indicating this. They said all evidence, videos, witness accounts, burn progression, and utility equipment remaining points to Hawaiian Electric's equipment being the ignition source of the fire. This is Mikhail Watts, whose firm, Watts Guerrera, is among three separate firms investigating the fire. And the other two firms agreed. They said their independent investigations, each of them did their own, they say have resulted in the same conclusion. They're like, well, it looks like that's pretty significant. Now, Hawaiian Electric serves 95% of the state's residents. They said that they have not yet officially given the cause of the fire. They said much of the area still remains closed off, but that's what they're looking at. And this, to go on with this, they were saying what? I think as the fatality actually is rising to 89. Deadliest wildfire in modern U.S. history. And everyone, all three separate, and I want to stress that each law firm is doing its own investigation. They have their own people on the ground, each of them, because they're trying to ascertain for a number of reasons. I mean, you got to get insurance stuff going immediately so you can get, so, you know, people who paid it and who are homeless and have nothing, that they immediately can, you know, start getting back on their feet. But also, you kind of want to know what started it so you can prevent it, like, immediately, right? I mean, that's the other big reason that you're investigating this stuff. But they said, you know, they officials are saying that they're being very careful in not, they haven't given an official cause of the fire, ignition source of the fire yet. And the governor said that investigations could take weeks or months. And that's true. But Hawaiian Electric, the fact that you have three separate legal entities, three separate firms, they say that all of their independent investigations are saying the exact same thing. There's some questions there. And Hawaiian Electric is getting a lot of criticism. And I've got a couple of different sources on this, including some Hawaiian state press. And they're saying that they got a lot of criticism because they did not turn off power to their Maui branch, despite warnings of ideal fire conditions, because they had hurricane force winds coming in. Now, what I had heard is that the speed and strength of some of the winds that were blowing in were like 70 miles per hour in some instances, like hurricane force winds. And usually in states that, you know, where you have dry conditions and it can be very windy, this is a, you know, cutting the power is a tactic to prevent any kind of, you know, wild burn like this from taking place. And so they said that they had gale force winds. They had already taken down some power lines in the area prior to the fires. And that was from Hawaiian Electric. Now, California, Oregon, and Nevada, they've had where they've cut power before, when conditions were like this. So this is what people are kind of, you know, this is what they're looking into, because there's criticism coming from Hawaiians saying that they should have cut this power when all of these conditions were present to necessitate that tactic. Now, I'm just telling you what they're investigating and what, you know, is being reported here. So some of it could be because I know you also have lawyers that want to look for class action suits. But I think that that's separate from the fact, no matter what's motivating, you know, one firm over another, the fact that this criticism before this even came out existed is significant. And that's from the New York Times. I mean, there was one official who said, well, there were some questioning proper safety precautions. None of this has to do with climate change. Now, you could say, well, the dry conditions, et cetera, because it's a dry season. It's not wet season. Oh, my gosh. Are people so insulated in their mainland bubble that they have no idea how other people outside of their own sphere live? Because that's the first thing I think of when people demonstrate such embarrassing ignorance on something like this. Learn a little bit about an area before you think that everything works like your, you know, white bread suburban neighborhood. That's what I think of when all these progressives come out and they're like, oh, this is that. It's not climate change. It's like the same people who were saying, oh, gosh, in Canada, it was climate change. Actually, it was their horrible policy on deforestation. When you have a bunch of stuff, when you have all this growth that's allowed to accumulate, and then you have a dry season, and then it's summer, guess what? People act like this never happened before until they decided to invent the theory of climate change. It's just asinine. This is why, by the way, this is the big difference between conservationists and environmentalists. What the hell did environmentalists do about deforestation in California or Canada? Not a damn thing. It's conservationists that push for this stuff. And then conservationists are told that they're being too harsh, but they actually understand land management. They understand controlled burns. They understand about controlling the growth of forests. They understand about maintaining forest health. They understand about, you know, animals and herd health, all of this stuff. Conservationists are why we still enjoy parks and forests and all of that today. Because if it were up to environmentalists, we wouldn't have a damn thing. It'd all be scorched earth because these people can't even manage a ham sandwich, much less force any kind of policy with forestry. Same thing applies here. But they all go out and say climate change because they want to scare you into thinking that if you just give them their money, they'll throw it at the sun like a sacrifice, like a virgin in a, you know, in a pit or something. And then guess what? It'll all stop. It's not how this works. You just have to buy Al Gore's carbon credits. That's all. I mean, you have a dry season. Then you had Hurricane Dora. That was blowing, the winds were blowing all of this. So you had a number of things that contributed to a once-in-a-lifetime catastrophe. There are some people saying that the extent of damage is being entirely underreported. And then you have Joe Biden, who's on vacation. And he's coming back from vacation to go on another vacation. I'm not joking. He's coming back from vacation to go on another vacation. He just got back to the White House from Delaware, from his beach house in Delaware. He didn't want to take any kind of questions. And he didn't take questions because, you know, he was on vacation just after he's been on vacation for approximately a year. And then he took another 14-day vacation and then he was on vacation in Delaware again. So he stiff walks back to the White House and then he's going to leave to go to Lake Tahoe. He's going to be in Lake Tahoe. Mm-hmm. For what? He's going to take some more time. Don't question. It's very, very hard to be the face of everybody else calling the shots. It's true. I have to tell you this. I don't know if you saw this. This was like a few days ago when this came out. And you know the banyan trees, those historic trees? Or the tree that has, that was saved and this church was saved. This one church in the town there in Maui, this video displayed it's gone viral, shows this church completely intact and looking almost defiant in the face of all the ruins. And it looks entirely untouched. Everything around this tree or this church is burnt to a crisp. I mean everything around this tree or the church. And then there's the tree and the thing. It is amazing to watch this. That's a lot of people are going to find a lot of hope in that. But just unbelievable, the stuff that we're seeing. Now, we have some other things to get to as well, because we've been talking about some of the 2024 stuff. We've also been getting into some of the culture, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, my browser, nothing wants to work, Kane. It's all because of climate change, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah,
it's all because of climate change. I wanted to, you know, we got Days of These United States coming up too. So I want to make sure that we get into that, because we got a whole bunch of stuff on that. We're also going to get into if karaokeing your own outro is kind of like the new thing for candidates to do, then we should probably pick some songs for candidates to all do. I'm just thinking, right? Yeah, all right. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time, and the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations, and this 12-gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12-gauge pump-action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells, and with dual-tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC Weapons.com.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
But the thing about being a role model, people watch what you do to see if it lines up with what you say.
I love the guy who's interviewing her. I don't know. I didn't watch it. You know why? Because it kills brain cells. And if I'm going to kill brain cells, then I'm going to do it with like limoncello or, you know, some ultra right. There you go. Yeah. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That was Vice President of the United States. Okay, so should you give her credit because she didn't talk about Venn diagrams or say unburdened by what has been?
Should we give credit for that?
I mean, does she deserve credit for that? Do you think?
No.
You just don't like her. Mean.
Because she'll say that stuff again several times.
I don't understand their dynamic. The Biden-Harris dynamic. By the way, Biden just came out, with a tweet, guys. He just tweeted about the fires in Maui. Just now. Yeah, it finally happened. He tweeted about it. He said I don't know, Twitter's not working for me today. I mean, it's so glitchy. Like, if I want to pull something up, sometimes it doesn't pull it up at all. And it just, you know, gives you the spinny wheel of death. He tweeted, quote, "As residents of Hawaii mourn the loss of life and devastation taking place across their beautiful home, we mourn with them. Like I've said." You didn't say, what do you mean, like I've said? You didn't, this is the first time you've ever said anything. So he was talking about, so basically someone tweeted this for him. I love how he goes, like I've said, as like he's trying to retcon. Well, I've said something. No, you haven't. This is literally the first time you've said anything, which is weird because he was the VP of a president who came from Hawaii. That's just, by the way, are the Obamas doing anything in Hawaii? Are they helping out at all? Didn't he have like Tom Selleck's MacGyver place there? Didn't he buy MacGyver's house? And then he illegally like shored up the beach right by it. I mean, I'm pretty sure that was... I got some questions. So I don't know. That's he's gonna go to Lake Tahoe. That's it. He's gonna go to Lake Tahoe. You know, I read this story where it said that Oprah was denied taking cameras into one of these shelters. She's been down there helping. Did she try to take cameras and to record footage of herself helping? I that's true, because I saw there's all these headlines about how she was told she had to keep her cameras out. She said she was going to make a major donation with rebuilding. She arrived with CBS news crews. And she's been there helping. She's a part-time resident in Maui. And I do wonder, she on Sunday, she and a CBS camera crew were denied access to the War Memorial Shelter because of a no media policy. And she said she was checking in with survivors about their immediate needs. And she said that she was going to make a major donation, etc. I don't know. I get kind of Book of Matthew about that stuff, you know. I just feel like it's not something that you should brag about. I think that there's instances where you can absolutely make an example of philanthropy or donations, etc., to encourage others to do so. But sometimes it trespasses into the realm of self-glorification. And I feel like that's so, I don't know. I just get a weird feeling when people make a big thing about stuff like this. But I don't know why they had cameras there, but they had cameras. Maybe they were trying to do advocacy. I don't want to immediately think the worst, because I like to think that people really do, you know, have I want to think that even, you know, people that you might disagree with or criticize the most have genuine or are human, and that they want to help people when stuff like this happens. But, you know, at the same time, I don't know. I just feel like every suspicion that I have about everything and everyone lately is proven true. So who knows? But goodness, we have more on the way. The latest culture, law and order, so much more. 2024. Stick with us.
It's actually Iowans who made the decision to elect me in a really tough year. 2018 was not a good year for Republicans. I squeaked by.
Do you think Republicans are wrong to see him as the inevitable nominee?
Well, I just said I think it's early. Our job is not to pick the winner necessarily, but to start to narrow the field. And that's really what the caucus has done.
So that is Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, who was asked, and I think it was a fair question, you know, to ask her. And I met her once. She seemed very nice. I talked to her for a little bit. But she seemed very nice, very engaged. She loves her state. But she was asked about the comment that Trump had made. This is when she refused to endorse anybody. She was asked to endorse, which I think is an awkward position, especially if you're not running. And she declined to endorse because she said that she didn't want to run people away, which makes sense, from coming to her state to meet with Iowans. Because think of it, if she had endorsed DeSantis, do you think that Trump would have gone to Iowa? No. Vice versa, or anybody else? I mean, you got to think of stuff like this. And that's the early state. So she's in a very odd position because she's the governor of an early state. And, you know, this is, you know, she doesn't want to run anyone off. So she was asked about that, and that was her answer. It didn't make Trump happy, though, because Trump had kind of slammed her and said that she couldn't have won without his help, which I don't necessarily think is true. But, you know, they had a lot of her campaign had a lot of people on the ground, and they were really good at getting out the vote. They had a very good retail politic thing going. And so she was addressing that in that interview. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Loesch here with you. You can listen coast to coast, the nationally syndicated radio program. You can also stream it, and you can watch the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. This, I will say this, because there's, in looking at some of the 2024 stuff, I mean, there's silliness and, you know, there's I think candidates... I think that you have to be a happy warrior, but at the same time, I think that people need to realize the seriousness of this election. And I don't like to get into the fear mongering or try to use it as a shtick to get, you know, people to tune in. We've never had to do that on this program. But I do think that there is a very, you know, you've got to very much consider this election and everything that hinges upon this election. Think of, you know, regulation on AI. Do you want Democrats writing that? Or ESG, do you want Democrats cementing that as part of our economic framework? What about tax increases at a time of recession? Foreign policy, the border. Think of all of this stuff. All of these things hinge on 2024. And the media desperately wants to pick the candidate. They want to pick what they think. If they're going to have Biden, they want to pick the easiest thing for Biden. And the media has been covering up for him so much. It doesn't matter. They're, when you run, you're running not just against Democrats, you're running against the media. That's why I don't like it when I see Republicans try to make it harder. There's a way to criticize things that you think are unconservative about someone else's policy. I just don't like to see campaigns make unforced errors. I see, like, for instance, Trump has been hanging around with some people that, like at Bedminster, for instance. There's a candidate who ran in Florida who was so embarrassing from what I heard. And, I mean, I'll name names if you push me, so don't. But they were, the former president was told, don't hire this person. My gosh, they're a ticking time bomb. They're embarrassing. They're reckless. They're cringe. They create more problems. You know, they hang around with some, just some people that actually really aren't even Republican because they engage in identity politics to a really ridiculous level. But they cop the R affiliation because they think that that makes them unique and that's going to make them money somehow. It's a grift. And he was told not to endorse that candidate. Don't hire that candidate. And that candidate ended up like somehow getting in and hanging out with him in Bedminster. I'm just like, oh my gosh. I think his worst, and you got to be able to call it like it is, right? I think every candidate, even DeSantis, they need to listen to their own gut instinct. Trump's worst, his currency is vanity. Everybody has a currency. Let's be honest. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm just saying it how it is. Everybody has a currency. Some people's currency is critical response. Like if you're criticized, that's the that's what moves you more than anything. Some people, you know, appeal into their vanity. That's their currency. That's his. And I think that some of the people that are around him don't tell him no because they want to be liked. Or they'll do whatever it takes to continue being liked, even if it actually hurts him. And that's one of the things that's very dangerous. That is a very dangerous thing. And his biggest fault is that he does not pick the best people around him. For sure. Because I know them. I can say this. I mean, my gosh, I know them. Kane's shaking his head. Yes. We've known them. We know who these people are. It's weird because, you know, I started in street activism and I started as a newspaper columnist. And to see a lot of these people rise up the ranks, and because I don't operate in D.C. or New York, I don't feel like I'm part of that sphere. So it's weird because I know every single person involved in all of this. I know them off camera. I know them off mic. I know the good ones and the bad ones. And I see him like buddying up to some of these people. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, 45, don't. What are you doing? What you doing? No, stop. It's so bad because they're going to burn him. Like, I remember back channel, I had warned Junior. I'm like, Bannon's going to turn on you. You just wait. Like, that's his MO. Because I've known the guy for over a decade. I'm like, he'll turn on you and he'll betray you in a real bad way. So just watch. And what happened? He called Junior a traitor publicly. And I think maliciously led a reporter through the White House to get dirt on Trump, who wrote that horrible story on him. And then Bannon was used as fodder by the left because he was mad at Trump to go at Trump. And that's where all the story of the Alpha Bank and everything came from. Oh, my gosh. They were calling Don Jr. a traitor and saying he was a criminal. And they were wanting to investigate him. And he created drama because his ego was bruised. And that's when Trump fired him and called him Sloppy Steve. First thing I did, which I don't like to do, I told you so. But that's the first damn thing I did. I said, told you so. Should have listened. And I see it happening again. I get nervous about that. Because I know people who, when your currency is you, you don't care about anything else. You don't care if it jeopardizes somebody else. You don't care about any of that. Back when Trump was running in 2016, Sam Nunberg had reached out and asked if I'd consider to be a campaign spokesperson. And I said, no. I go, first off, you know, and I've known Sam for a long time. I was like, oh, God, love you. I go, I'm flattered by the offer, but no, because it's a pay cut. And also, you can't have somebody like me be a spokesperson for somebody like him. You cannot have one very aggressive individual be a spokesperson for another very aggressive individual. I'm like, furthermore, does he need one for his campaign? I'm like, look, I know enough. I want to win in 2016. I'm like, I know enough that I think it would be a disservice and I don't think it would help you. And that's just kind of, it's true. I mean, can you imagine? Oh my gosh. It would not have worked out well. And it would have been at the detriment of their campaign. Now, if I wanted to actually had hurt him, I would have said, yeah. Imagine the damage I could have done. For all the people who got mad at me because he wasn't my primary pick in 2016, imagine the damage I could have done. Appreciate that. But I'm like, no, this is not going to work. It's actually, it would be unfair to your campaign. Not because, it's not about job performance. It's just about you have to match up the proper person. You need someone who's going to read what's on the paper. And it cannot be me. So that's why I said I worry about the people that he surrounds himself with, because there are other people who don't recognize that and go, yeah, I want to do it. I want to do it. And they are out for them. Now, there are some people who are very well suited and very good at that. And they have a very good skill at that. And that is a skill. But not everybody. And I see some people now that are glomming on. And I just worry about the position, because what I see is what would happen in a general. Because it's not the Republican voters you got to convince, guys. And I know that really rubs people the wrong way, but it's true. It's not Republicans you have to convince. It is independents and moderates. That's who you have to, you run a primary and a primary, but you got to think ahead of the general. That was what DeSantis was doing wrong going into this. He was running his primary like a general. And we talked about that last week. You can't do that. I'm glad that they had a reset because they needed it. You can't do that. Even if you're raising more money, even if you're getting this particular type of donation, even if you have greater favorability state by state, it is an optic, and the optic will matter no matter what. You say it enough and it becomes true in the minds of people, whether it is or not. So looking at all of this, I just get a little nervous about this stuff when I watch it. We got, I want to switch up to some of this wokery. Golly. This is weird. Audio Soundbite 21. This is the chick, Rachel Zegler, who is in the, it's not even Snow White. It's the, I don't know what this is. It's not Snow White, though. What is this, Kate? What the hell movie is this? It's Snow White, but
I thought it was Snow White.
Yeah, no, but it's not.
No, it definitely isn't.
They took the character and ruined it. Listen to what she says here. This is like, we played some of her talking in a different interview like last week or the week before. This is the newest. Just listen to what they were saying about the story.
I mean, you know, the original cartoon came out in 1937, and very evidently so. there's a big focus on her love story. With a guy who literally stalks her.
Yeah.
Weird.
Weird.
Super weird. So we didn't do that this time.
So no prince or what? A different kind of prince?
We have a different approach to what I'm sure a lot of people will assume is a love story, just because, like, we cast a guy in the movie.
Right.
Andrew Burnap, great dude.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I think everyone's going to have their assumptions about what it's actually going to be, but it's really not about the love story at all, which is really, really wonderful. And whether or not she finds love along
then
the way
gives
is anybody's guess until 2024.
Nobody cares. She's like every annoying theater kid wrapped up into one person. You know it's true.
And she says,
weird.
She says, we cast a guy. Like she was part of the casting. Like she, it was.
Does she not know what a stalker is? Because Prince Charming was told, hey, there's some broad up there sleeping. Go give her a kiss. And he's like, okay. That's the opposite of stalking. Like he didn't even, did she know that source material? That's weird. Weird. That's not what it is. No, what they did is they just took Snow White and then they appropriated the character of Snow White to make a woke tale. That's it. People aren't mad over who's playing who. No one, shut up. Nobody cares. That's the story that the left invents to satiate their own like deep-seated racism and bigotry. What people are mad about is that they totally ruined the story. Make up your own story. Like, why are people in Hollywood so completely unimaginative? Instead of taking a giant deuce on Snow White, I don't know, maybe like come up with your own story. Maybe you're telling me that everything's been exhausted, that every culture you've explored, all these amazing tales and all these other cultures, and that you've come back with nothing except this. Nobody cares about Snow White as out of the love story. It's what? Some raven-haired stepkid who gets mad at her stepmom, who's apparently like a raging psycho narcissist, and she finds she just runs away from home. That's it. And then what does she do? She didn't fight the queen. She didn't do any of that stuff. The queen ends up ruining herself. So What's the whole point? What is the point of the story? It's boring.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Yeah, we're all watching. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to run this down a little bit, and we got Lorraine watching out for it, too. So some are wondering, did the Georgia indictment just literally get leaked? Because there was a document posted to the Fulton County, Georgia court website that was on this that had been removed. Apparently, it showed the criminal charges being filed, the very left-wing Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis's charges. But then it was removed from the website, literally within minutes, but not before people caught it. That's why. So did she file without an indictment from the grand jury? Like, what is this? There's a lot of questions. This literally just happened. So we're watching this for you. Going to bring you some more information about it. The price of elder care is soaring as baby boomers age. And we're gonna get into another serious sandwich generation here. Many Americans who serve as caregivers consumed by the cost of tending to ailing or aging family members. And now everything from nursing home care, that increased by almost 3% between 2012 2019, a cumulative increase of 20% there. They said that everything from, you know, the actual nursing care to the supplies to the, you know, the shelter, all of it is increased. So a lot of stuff to consider. Oof. Robo-taxis not working out so well. San Francisco's North Beach streets are clogged as a long line of cruise robo-taxis come to a standstill. Robo-taxis. So the car set motionless. They had parking lights flashing for 15 minutes, and then they woke up and moved on. So people are wondering, well, what happens if there's a major fire? You have life-threatening emergencies, and you have all these robo-taxis blocking the way. I mean, this is... they're unresponsive. There's a lot of concerns. And they said, I mean, it is kind of ironic because the California Public Utilities Commission voted 3-1 Tuesday to allow their expansion. So, yeah, we're going to see. Do you trust the robot? I don't trust the robot. A police chief was sucker punched by a stranger during a New York City commute. The Post Police Bureau chief. So the person at the New York Post, who that's her main beat. She was, you know, doing her job, walking to work, and was sucker punched by a criminal in New York. I mean, she became her own story. That's kind of crazy. All right, we're going to try to run down the left on this Georgia indictment. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. So we're running down this. This is a wild story. So if you're just joining us, we had mentioned in the headline segment last segment. Yeah. Where I guess it was Reuters. BBC says there's an indictment in the Georgia case for Trump that's going to come out tomorrow. But then. I this is kind of wild. They had this, it was a Reuters reporter who had tweeted originally and then deleted it, that like they had posted somehow that Georgia had filed the charges and that it was up and that the document was posted on the Fulton County, Georgia's website, and they said it was removed. And so the reporter, John Cruzell, and it took, our contributor over at Chapter and Verse, Lorraine, like 2 seconds to find the Reuters guy. John Cruzell tweeted, out of an abundance of caution, I've deleted a tweet about a possible Trump indictment that was based on a colleague's reporting as we await further information. Wait, so you just tweeted it while you were waiting for information? Really? Seriously? I just feel like this is kind of clownery. Kind of. I mean, I could say a lot more, but right now, let's keep it above board. Wow. So they waited, again, about the indictment. Why would the... And the other thing is, isn't the... I mean, the way that I understood it, it was ongoing, and I thought the lieutenant governor was supposed to be testifying like today or tomorrow or something, which was weird. So I guess it makes sense for the BBC to say that it would be coming down tomorrow, but Look, here's the problem with so much of this stuff. Everybody wants, they want to rush to be first. And it's one thing if you're going to run to be, you know, it's one thing to be first, you know, to, with the media, it's not really, I don't even think it's really because of the way that social media operates. Is it really important to be first anymore? Because it seems like accuracy is sacrificed in the rush to be first, number one. But number two, because of how stories go viral and are amplified and how developments work now, is it, I don't even know if it's as important to be first as it used to be. But this is just, you got to be correct. It doesn't matter if you're first, if you're not right. They weren't even done with the grand jury testimony. Like, apparently one of them didn't something say there was like a RICO violation? Come on. Yeah, what did you say? Yeah, that was one. That's what, yeah, I read,
that's
right?
That's what I read in the Reuters piece.
Yeah. John Krizel tweeted, Georgia charges Trump with, they get screenshots. Screenshots live forever. Mm-hmm. Georgia charges Trump with violation of state RICO Act.
Yeah.
Again, the jury hasn't even issued, they haven't even voted on it. And I thought the lieutenant governor was testifying like today or tomorrow. Like, I haven't been covering all of this to the nth degree, partly because I think so much of it's a freak show and is just theater. And also partly because y'all are tired, right? You want to talk about corn dogs and stuff like that. And you want to talk about fun stuff and you want to kind of a little break. I get it, because we all do. And I only update you if crazy stuff happens like today. But I'd been keeping an eye on it, and I thought that it was going to be the lieutenant governor that was going to be testifying, like, today or tomorrow. So that would make sense, I guess, if they voted on it tomorrow. But the RICO thing, because the document, so apparently the document was actually posted online, and it was taken down. So they... You're okay. And again, we're all learning this literally just now. So they post the charges and then take them down before the grant. How does Kane?
I know. Well, according to this piece, they said it's a 2-page document that cites the violation of Georgia RICO Act, the solicitation of violation of oath by public officer, conspiracy to commit false statements and writings, and conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree. Those are now four indictments.
But how can they come up with it when they still have people testifying today?
Exactly. And don't they have to, once they've all agreed on whatever the statement from the grand jury is, don't everyone in the grand jury, don't they have to sign off on that?
Yeah, like, I think so.
I haven't
so.
Seen that either.
I believe so. I mean, I just don't know how this gets... I think everybody else is still like kind of reacting to how this gets in and how it doesn't. Or how this goes without the grand jury even. No, I'm just very... I got like a million questions on this. It sounds like they wanted to rush and get out a narrative.
Yeah, like a guilty until proven innocent sort of thing.
So, are they... I know I keep saying this. I'm thinking here because this literally just is all just posting. If this, do you, okay, so let me ask like this. Do you think it's accurate and that this is what they're going to, regardless of whether or not you think it's merited, do you think that this is what they're going to run with? What they're going to charge them with? Regardless, again, I'm not asking for you to measure accuracy. Are they just trying to hurry and get the script right is what I'm wondering.
I mean, that's what it looks like.
How is this a RICO charge? And all we have are screenshots right now. We haven't read it. But the case, this is the... I'm going to throw this over to Juan. For those of you who are watching the simulcast, so you can get some screenshot deliciousness here. Yeah, they pulled the docket report. And the screenshots... So here are the... Oh, geez. Yeah, it has the violation of Georgia RICO. That's the Racketeer Influenced and Corruption Organizations Act. Solicitation of violation of oath by public officer. Conspiracy to commit impersonating a public officer. Conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree. Conspiracy to commit false statements and writings. Conspiracy to commit false filing false documents. Conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree. False statements and writings. Filing false documents. Solicitation of violation of oath. Again, false statements, right? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. RICO, though. Okay, so if the grand jury isn't done hearing the evidence, I don't know how this works. Is that grounds for dismissal? I'm curious about this.
They don't want to dismiss this.
That's the other thing. I would imagine that they wouldn't want to do something so stupid to get something dismissed for, or to have something be considered invalid or struck because of a technical violation, right? But the left gets sloppy. Here's one thing that you can trust about the left. When they get over their skis, they get very, very sloppy. And again, if you're just joining us, this is wild because apparently it was Reuters first. They posted about charges from the Georgia grand jury and said that he was being charged and that it was an indictment, but an indictment wasn't handed down. And apparently there are still people who are, because I had read that the lieutenant governor was people were still testifying basically today or tomorrow morning. And the expectation was that it was going to be this week. BBC said that it was going to be tomorrow, which I guess would make sense because after, you know, testifying, then, you know, you could have people, then they would vote on it. But how it gets out now is just wild. Woo. So that's what's happening. And then they pulled it. That's the other thing. They pulled it. So after they published it, then they pulled it. Okay, so there you go. Whew.
Notice it says case is open and the file date is today.
Just sloppiness.
Just so odd.
Just sloppy. Yeah, it's incredibly odd. I mean, or maybe they're magical. They can actually know what the grand jury is going to vote, Kane. And they just wanted to go ahead and get ahead of it. We know what they're going to vote, so we'll just put this up. Because they haven't voted on it yet. The grand jury has to cast votes on these charges before you can actually file the indictment. So you can't say the grand jury you're indicted by the vote of a grand jury. So you can't hand out the indictment if they're still hearing testimony and they haven't voted. That's the thing. So I don't know. This whole thing is weird. Georgia we knew was coming, and some had said that Georgia could potentially be more serious for him, more of a serious, and I'm just telling you what people who are in the law, who actually even are predisposed towards Trump, I'm just telling you, they were saying that the way certain things are structured, Georgia might be more complicated for him. Similar to kind of how a couple of the charges in the Mar-a-Lago with storage might be complications. But the way that this is going down is going to, that's, man. Also think like this. Could be on purpose. To get everybody mad, stoke rage, etc. I'm going to wrap myself in I've been around you too long, Kane. I'm going to wrap myself in tinfoil. You know, if I wanted to incite massive chaos, this is the type of stuff that I would do.
Yeah.
And then have everybody run amok in the streets and then be like, oh, I got to postpone having your votes cast for 2024 because everything's just too dangerous. I'm just saying. So always take things, you know, always verify and question everything that comes out. So I'm just letting you know this is what's being reported now. This is just what came out now. So the RICO, yeah, briefly appears on the Georgia dock. So clearly it looks like they're going to slap him with a RICO charge. And posted and taken down. So we're going to have some of the latest up on the newsletter chapter and verse on Substack about this. And try to run some of this down for you. But again, if you're just joining, apparently Georgia's, the district attorney's office in Georgia, Fulton County, apparently posted the indictment, grand jury indictment in Georgia online before the grand jury even voted, and then quickly removed it, but not before Reuters got it. So this is just wild. We're going to follow all of this, man. Good heavens. Now, as we're looking at all of this as well, I got some Law and Order for you. We got to get in some immigration coming up as well. We're going to talk more about this, but I don't know if you saw Canoga Park Mall, the Westfield. This was in Westfield Topanga Mall in Canoga Park. Nordstrom was ransacked. People were looking for bread, Kane. Come on. They were hungry and wanted to feed their families. So, you know, taking merchandise from Nordstrom's, I guess that's the only way to do it. Or Nordstream, if you're KJP. They stole apparently $60,000 to $100,000 worth of merchandise. Everybody dressed in black, wearing face coverings, grabbing clothing, running away. And apparently there's not going to, I don't think there's going to be charges, right? The way that I understand it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, I have one crazy story, another crazy story, and something that's what? So here we go. A Florida woman doused herself in Diet Mountain Dew to erase the DNA after killing her 79-year-old roommate, say cops. This was sent from Florida woman Amber. Yeah, blood-smudged Florida woman, this is MSN, suspected of murder, accrued additional charges. She asked police for a soda and then, quote, poured it all over herself in an attempt to scrub forensic evidence from her body, said Daytona Beach police. Nicole Max, 35, was charged with tampering with evidence and resisting arrest with violence in a premeditated first-degree murder charge in the death of 79-year-old Michael Sarasoli. Firefighters were called to the smoldering house. You know, she apparently also set the house on fire, but she, with her neck tats, she literally poured Diet. Did she ask for Diet Mountain Dew? I know that's not really important to the story, but it was my first, like, really? Diet Mountain Dew? And just poured it all over herself. They had a lot of bloodied evidence everywhere, so she was trying to erase all the evidence. And that, guess what? That did not work. Just want to let you know, it did not work.
Surprising.
Surprise. So she's in jail. And I love how they end this with, researchers found that sweeteners could put people at risk for disease and wear down the lining of intestines. Doesn't actually work on reducing any of the stuff that we just talked to. Okay, so, or talked about. A Florida man swiped car keys from a baby stroller and then rummaged through the car. You got to be careful with this stuff. I guess they were just in the stroller. It happened at Disney's Hollywood Studios. They did detain him, but he apparently was falling around, you know, his mom in a stroller, and was able to get the keys out of the stroller, ran to the car, found the car somehow. Deputy said he turned the car on, moved it to a different part of the parking lot, and then started rummaging through the car. So he didn't actually leave. He just wanted to go through it first. The persons whose stroller it was that he stole the keys out said, yeah, this person did not have permission to do any of this stuff, so they're pressing charges. How in the world? All right, so here's the other thing. If you're in Florida, because we had that horrible manatee story from a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to repeat it.
Thank you.
So if you are walking along the beach in Florida and you see a bunch of manatees gathered together on the shoreline, the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office is telling you to stop calling 911 over it. Because apparently they're getting a million calls. It's mating season for manatees, and that is apparently how you get down. Well, if you're a manatee. The Pinellas County Sheriff's Office put out an instructional video on Facebook saying, if you see this, no, you didn't. They said, we can assure you they are more than fine. They mate in herds like this near the shore. They're often seen during the summer months. It's going to go on to September. So just calm down. It's okay. They're all right. You didn't see anything. Stay with us. Third hour next.
I lived through McCarthyism, which was very, very bad. This is worse because this affects the future. You know, our young people are being told due process doesn't matter. Free speech doesn't matter. Mm. Just get Trump. You talk about being denied various rights. He's being denied the right to counsel. Let me tell you why. There's this group of leftist lawyers called the 65 Project, which is committed to going after any lawyer who represents Donald Trump.
So welcome back to the program. That's Alan Dershowitz, who's speaking about, that's what a lot of people are seeing, is this absence of due process. And it's true. Welcome back to the show. It's true. And this latest, and I was talking with my friend Kurt Schlichter of Back Channel about this, because the latest that, this is kind of wild. So basically the Fulton County DA from the DA's office, they posted this indictment. This Georgia indictment that was said to have, that was going to be coming down sometime this week because the grand jury is hearing testimony still, I think today and tomorrow. Tomorrow, I thought they were expected to vote on it, maybe. Again, that's like with speculation. But apparently, they posted this document listing the charges on their website, and then they took it down. Reuters got screenshots of it, and this is just wild because it lists a RICO charge for crying out loud. And then, I just would love to know how it got posted and how they could list these charges when the grand jury hasn't even voted on them. Because that's how that works. It's just something else. This is just something else, a RICO charge. I mean, so you basically, you have charges first, and then you have the indictment. You're supposed to indict after you present, evidence for a criminal charge, and then you vote on charges, and then you have your indictment. But this is apparently, we're just going to go with whatever. I mean, if you want to go ahead and get this narrative out, I mean, it's not necessary. Who cares about indictments, right? This is, you're seeing the contrast of how the court system is dealing with the Trump cases and then how they're dealing with the Hunter Biden cases. And you could argue, well, that's just the one's just the son of the president. But not really, though. He's the son of the president, yes, but he's the son of a president who's been using his elected office both as president and vice president to enrich in his family using his son and not reporting it. This has, and I think this has less, little to do with taxation, more so than they were actually working with geopolitical opposition like China. And enriching themselves, making money, getting money and cars and diamonds from China while simultaneously selling away energy interests here that we have for the United States. And that's a very big thing. And then they see this situation with the Trump cases, and you have, this document. I mean, granted that, the grand jury hasn't voted to indict him, but we're going to go ahead and come out with this anyway. I mean, it's just weird. It's a joke. That's a joke. If you're really trying to make a case, you don't squander your opportunity to convince the American public by doing stuff like this. This is what really undermines people's faith in all of this, because this is the stuff that they see. So I'll have more for you when I have more, but we've got our eye on it. And I just don't know how else to characterize it. I mean, that's a joke. And a RICO charge for what? That was one of the charges, by the way, that was listed on this thing. Not quite a RICO charge. And all Fannie Willis said, what, is that it was inaccurate and that was it? That was all she said? And in the meantime, now you have this case, Hunter Biden's legal team. Have you heard about this? Yeah, it is a pile on to sway public opinion. So Hunter Biden's legal team is arguing that the diversion agreement, regardless of the rest of the plea deal, that he's granted full immunity. Still. This is what they're arguing. That he's still granted full immunity regardless. In this case, yes, which is still ongoing. and they're going to run the statute of limitations out for this as well. So I'm looking at this. Because his Hail Mary plea deal fell apart. And now, and I'm pulling up this timeline. Because they said that the defendant's understanding of the scope of immunity agreed to by the United States wasn't as based on the express written terms of the diversion agreement. His understanding of the scope of immunity agreed to by the United States also corroborated by prosecutors' contemporaneous written and oral communications during the plea negotiations. They're saying that it's binding. What? I mean, this is something, golly. Because the statute of limitations, the DC charges, those were in 2014, 2015. What does that go out in November? Let's see. You had January 23rd. You had USA Attorney Estrada refused the 2016, 2019 charges. That was it. Shapley wanted to make disclosures. That was in 20. I'm looking at this timeline. So there, I wanted to throw things, Kane. Yeah, just to throw some stuff. Listen to this. This is Hunter Biden's attorney, Abby Lowell, on the firearm charge. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 8.
And that was dealing primarily with the tax-related charges. There was also this diversion agreement related to the gun possession. Is that part of the agreement still in effect?
So there are two different agreements, mm-hmm. as you point out. And on July 26, what was very clear is that the prosecution presented the diversion agreement, which they signed. Which we signed, and as an agreement of which they have described it as being a standalone, independent, bilateral agreement with two signatures on it, that agreement is different than the plea. The plea did not go forward. The diversion agreement is already filed in court, and it has the signatures necessary for it to be binding.
So that's the argument that they're using for this. And they're saying that he intends to abide by this still. So they're pushing for this. And why is this special counsel? So does, oh man. Kane?
If you can't see it, like if you're someone who even doesn't follow this very closely and you can't see what's happening here, there's literally no hope for you.
Do we even have a legal system anymore? I've got questions. Hey, you know what? Let's do something fun because we're all about to pull our hair out. First law you'd break without, you know, because we should all have immunity if Hunter has immunity.
Right. I'd hit up a Chinese company to give me millions.
Really? I don't like the CCP still.
I'll take their money.
I think that I don't want to come to a full stop when making a right turn. That's the first thing. Right?
All right.
Do you ever, like... No, hold. Hear me out.
I was thinking bigger, but okay.
No. Hear me. I'm not saying that I've ever done this, but I'm just saying, do you ever feel like, you know, like you come up to an intersection, you're turning right, ain't nobody there, not a soul. It's just you, right? It's you and your principles. And you're making a right turn. Nobody's there. Do you just kind of roll stop it? Or do you come to a full stop? Because I say this because I feel like there are people out there who believe that if they come to a full stop at a stop sign that they are awarded a special citizen medal because they want to make sure I'm at a full stop looking all the ways, you know, and then they go. I'm not saying that I've ever done this, but I'm just saying that's probably something I would totally without any guilt do.
I've gotten a red light ticket for that before.
Yeah.
So there's mm-hmm. proof that I've done it.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying now, see, you got immunity. You should have just been like, no, my name is Kane Biden. It's Biden, yes, B-I-D-E-N, mm-hmm. Yeah, like the president, yeah, we're related. I mean, and you don't have to get into like how, I mean, you could just be like, we're all part of the human family.
Right.
Just that, and you identify as a Biden, why not? I mean, if you can chop off your willy and say you're a chick, then why can't you identify as a Biden? You're not even cutting nothing off.
As a Biden, that's automatic immunity.
Except, so. You know, your morals, you just, but that's it. You're not even, there's not no surgically altering anything. You can just be whoever you want to be, which is the Army's new slogan, really. Be all that you can be. No, be whatever you want to be. There you go. In the Army. Isn't that how it goes? I believe it does. Well, I'm asking a rhetorical question here. So that is the, yeah, that's the latest. Yay. It's also great. Also great, I tell you. All right, so I got a couple of other things. We were talking about Law and Order in our last hour with the Nordstrom stuff. California is trying to make it illegal to question school board members. Then why pay taxes? They want to codify at the state level that they remember, this is what the left wanted to happen to parents with the FBI. Inquisitive parents, you could be a criminal if you dare to question your school board reps. Senate Bill 596, introduced by Democratic State Senator Anthony Portantino in February. It's dubbed the School Employees Protection Act, expands an existing law via the College Fix, which makes it a misdemeanor for any person to threaten or harass a school employee during the course of their duties. Now, you might say, oh, Dana, but it says to threaten or harass. Okay, define either of those things. Remember, we're in a society where if you wore a red hat, that meant you were threatening someone. So keep that in mind when you say, oh, it's not a big deal. Who's defining the words here? The expansion adds a penalty for creating substantial disorder at any meeting of a public, any kind of school board. They don't define what that is. They don't define substantial disorder. They just say that course of conduct is a pattern of conduct composed of two or more acts over a period of time, blah, blah, blah. And they also gone from the definition of harassment is unlawful violence, credible threat of violence, and then they have torments or terrorizes. So notice that. Remember I said, who's defining the words? So they remove from the definition of harassment, unlawful violence or credible threat of violence, which are legally actionable things. They replace them with vagary that isn't actually legally actionable, but they want to make it so. Torments or terrorizes, because they want to say that if you just exist disagreeing with them, that's tormenting them. So if you ask a school board member a question and you reiterate it, technically you could be harassing this person. You could face up to a year in jail. So the school boards get to decide what is or is not substantial, what is or is not up for question. And if you question them in their very totalitarian way, they can determine that you need to be jailed. Holy wow. Now, this is actually what the U.S. Department of Justice wanted when they wanted to label parents as domestic terrorists, and they wanted the National Guard to go out and monitor school board meetings. You want to see a riot? You do something like that. So this is what the federal government wanted that they're doing at the California state level. Now, keep in mind, I just told you about how you had a bunch of people break into Nordstrom, steal all kind of stuff. Nothing's going to happen. You're a parent. You speak up for the well-being of your child and their academic well-being, you could be arrested. You could be charged. Oof. What's happening?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Listen to this. A planned 2020 FBI interview with Hunter Biden about his tax crimes never happened because the Biden transition team and the Secret Service were once again tipped off and they nipped it. That's according to an ex-agent. These whistleblowers are coming out. And I'm telling you what, we're going to dive into that more tomorrow. Inspectors find bed bugs at several Las Vegas strip hotels. No. Always, this is my rule. Whenever I go into a hotel room, anywhere, what do? First thing I do is I never put your suitcases or any item you have on the bed. I always put it like if there's the bathroom floor, I put my stuff on the bathroom floor. Then I go to the bed and I totally tear it apart. I remake it, but I tear it apart. I lift up the mattress. I look for any signs of bed bugs, and there are signs. Google it. And if I don't find it, sometimes, yes, you can get a portable blacklight thing, by the way. You can do all that stuff and portable UV. But I look, and if I'm, that has never gone away. That part of my germophobia has never, ever gone away. So anyway, this story, they say that the Las Vegas Strip, yeah, they got some best resorts, best hotels, but one of the hotels, Circus, they've got bed bugs. A guest was bitten in January of last year, and they apparently have been kind of fighting. They said they had another bed bug complaint and then another one. And so now they're learning through public records requests that health inspectors discovered bed bugs at six other strips. Caesars, Planet Hollywood, Palazzo.
What?
Kane and I are going to die. No. Tropicana, MGM, Grand, and Sahara. Because we like the Venetian Palazzo. I mean, really? Oh, my gosh. Before SHOT Show, we got a deep dive, dude. We got a deep dive. Or I'm telling you. But I didn't find any when I was there because I took my bed apart. That's one of the places where I take my bed apart. Like, my husband just knows. He just is like, let her just do her crazy chick thing. Let her do it. All right. We got more. Where are we at? Oh, a woman finds a man showering in a Nashville hotel after an alleged arson. He, like, set something on fire and then went to have a shower. All right. We got Stephen Yates coming up. It's kind of a crazy day. We're running out of time in this segment, but we got Yates joining us next. Stay with us.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
God created the world, but everything else is made in China. How did that happen? We let it. We allowed China to be admitted to the World Trade Organization on December 11, 2001. China started cheating December 12th.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like we're still doing anything serious. I was looking at this Wall Street Journal piece, and that, by the way, was Senator Kennedy. Not the Pond Kennedy, the Louisiana Kennedy. He's right. This piece from Wall Street Journal, Biden restricts U.S. investment in China, but it's not really anything. It seems, at least from what I've seen from the critics, that it doesn't actually do anything. It doesn't. Beijing is not going to do anything because it doesn't actually have any kind of effect. There's a lot of stuff to still watch, even though we're looking at all of this other stuff happening with the Georgia, maybe indictment or whatever that is, and everything else. You still kind of have to keep an eye on what's going on in the Pacific, because ultimately good heavens, they're so intertwined with the current administration. You don't know when it stops and when one ends. So welcoming our friend Stephen Yates, and he's very generous with his time. He joins us most Mondays, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute, chair of the China Policy Initiative. I want to talk to you about some of the economy stuff, but I think that especially with the, let me pull this up, because it was a Guardian. There was a Guardian piece, a Wall Street Journal piece that got into how this, the ban that Biden implemented it's nothing. And that's why Beijing hasn't responded, because normally if you blink at them the wrong way, they scream, but there's been crickets on those.
Yeah, well, this is one of those cases where I think Congressman Gallagher, who heads the Select Committee on Competition with the Chinese Communist Party, he had it summed up exactly right. I mean, basically, this has so many loopholes that are so big that you could basically fly a squadron of PLA aircraft or some PLA Navy vessels through them. I mean, basically, you have to have kind of this majority-owned company that is majority involved in artificial intelligence. And so you put so many caveats on it. And the arbiter for it is the Department of Treasury, who has been instructed to consult with other people and come up with maybe some rules one day in the future. So anybody who's spent time in government, and they have my sympathies if they have, you'd know that anytime you try to do something tough, if you put the Department of Treasury in charge, it means go forth with China. Because that is the place that is the most pro-engagement of all of the agencies of the U.S. government. Occasionally, there'll be outlier people in there, but this was basically just for show. Because even the Biden administration knows right now the American people aren't having it when it comes to the happy talk about engagement that most recently Secretary Yellen was trying to sell when she went to Beijing and bowed multiple times to the emperor.
And also indicating that our economies are so intertwined, it's impossible to undo that mess, which, not impossible, but just long and painstaking. And there are sacrifices people would have to make economically and with cheap goods that they don't want to.
Right. Well, the great senator from Louisiana, who has the beautiful gift of words, put it exactly right. They came into the World Trade Organization on day one, and on day two, they began cheating. And the sin, in my view, isn't on trying to do things to let them show what their true colors are. The sin is in refusing to see their true colors by the results decades later. Obviously, it was a mistake then. We're paying for it now. But, 30 years ago, China wasn't the manufacturing platform for the world. And so we could move that if we had the will. As you allude to, it's definitely true. It wouldn't be free, but it wasn't free for us to move all that manufacturing from others to China. I mean, it cost our own manufacturing. It cost our allies manufacturing. I mean, there were costs, and now it just proved to be a bad bet, and we need to undo it.
Yeah, we need to undo it. But the political will doesn't seem to be there. Everybody wants to do it's that immediate instant gratification, and people, not just in commerce, but also in policy. People want that. They want immediate gratification, and it's ruined everything with China's economy. So we talked a little bit about this last week. It's not doing well. But I like the new spin that, well, it's slow, but it's healthy.
Yeah, well, you know, all those gold medals that go to people who are running slowly but healthily to the finish line, I mean, just begs you to ignore what your eyes see and what your ears hear. There obviously are structural problems inside China. They have a property bubble that is quite significant. They've had massive problems in their workforce. They have lots and lots of other things that we should not be shocked to find, that communism is not actually a viable economic strategy. It was the sugar high of us pouring money and privileged access in there that brought about these the hyper growth that they experienced. And now that they began to strategically decouple and they've started to have floods and other problems, they're having the economic problems. We shouldn't be shocked by it, but even still, we'll still have some green eye shades people in Wall Street that want to say, oh yeah, but it's healthy. It's a healthy contraction.
Yeah. I love this sentence. I think that I read this over at Bloomberg, which I don't like the title of that news entity, but that's what it is. Beijing, some say Beijing is engaged in a vibes-based stimulus.
There's so many problems with that phrase, but I just can't, I mean, you know, I never knew that emotion and vibes had anything to do with trying to get to the truth about what's happening in an economy. I didn't know. Maybe we got to go to the right psychic and read the right crystal ball to get this stuff right. But, you know, really, the evidence is pretty clear. Everyone that has been majorly invested in China is having a wake-up call and is trying to find ways to healthily de-risk, I think, mm-hmm. Is the safe term to use, because decoupling is apparently too shocking for some people. But, you know, they've got to find a way to do business elsewhere. And it's not about us being nice or mean. The Chinese leadership has made these choices. It's not a hospitable place. I mean, if you can get locked up for wrongthink, you know, it's bad enough to get locked up in the U.S. system. But go ahead and give it a try in one of these commie systems. That's a whole different picnic.
Mm-hmm. Looking at who also China dislikes, Taiwan, I think it's the VP, Taiwan's vice president and presidential candidate, William Lai, is traveling through the United States. He's been called by China, quote, a troublemaker through and through, which honestly, I think I would have that as like my campaign slogan. He's arrived in New York Saturday. He's en route to Paraguay. He's going to attend the inauguration of their president, which is apparently their only diplomatic ally in South America. And so the CCP, they're very upset about this. And they've been voicing their discontent at their discontentment over Lai's stubborn separatist position, I think is how they described it, saying that China deplores and strongly condemns the decision to arrange this so-called stopover. That was their statement.
Well, I would love it. I still think most of the world should run by way of stand-up comedy when they're faced with ridiculous things coming their way. But Tom Segura has an excellent routine where when he is protested by a particular group and they call him a sinner, he just puts his thumb up and says, yes. And when William Lai is called all these things by Beijing, he should just smile at the camera and say, yes.
That's the way to do it.
That they even try to throw this weird, weird kind of pejorative language in his direction. Yeah. So the United States, we should blame ourselves for this sort of stupid acting game. We won't allow this to be called a visit because we don't have formal diplomatic relations. So we call it a transit because that's completely different from a visit. I mean, you still land at an airport, you go to a hotel, you overnight, you speak to supporters, but you haven't visited. You've just transited because you're going to an inauguration in Central America. Cool beans. So this is the game that we've played. I think that by bending ourselves into a pretzel, Beijing has already extracted our manhood from us. And so at this point, they don't really need to protest too much. So they'll hit William Lai, but when they call him a sinner and they call him a splittist and all this other fun stuff, he should just smile, put his thumb in the air and say, yes.
Yes. That's a campaign ad. Yeah, I don't understand the language, how they what you were just talking about. Who are they? Honestly, who are they trying to convince with this language? Like these, I understand that we have this policy of vagary for the recognition of Taiwan, but it's a visit. It's not a stopover. It's not a transit. It's a visit. I mean, are there people actually out there that we're trying to convince? You know what? Well, they called it a stopover. It's not a visit. So they're being respectful. Or looking at China. I mean, are they? I just don't understand why. We all know. We all recognize that they're trying to force this entity that's never actually technically been like a full part of China to be part of China. We all recognize what's at core here. Why in the world are we still? I'm just tired of having to go along with the Victorian freak show theater of pretending on this stuff. We know where everything is.
No, I completely agree. I mean, basically, I don't know why we couldn't find the wherewithal to just say when someone wants to complain about something like this, you know, we're America and we'll choose. I hope
we'll do what we want.
Who can come and go to our country?
Yeah.
That doesn't make them a country or not a country. You guys sort that crap out.
Right.
But if we're going to choose whether someone's going to come through our country, if they cause problems while we're here, then they don't get to come back. But you know what? You're not going to tell us who we can and can't have come to our country. And if we told you who could come and go to your country, you'd give us the Chinese version of a particular finger. So we're all good, aren't we?
It makes me think of like somebody getting upset because someone stopped at your house. They visited you. No, it wasn't a visit. It was a stopover. It was a transit. The bus stops right there. It was a transit, or their Uber pickup area was, you know, right at the end of my drive. That's where, you know, it was just a transit. It was just a temporary thing. I mean, I thought, in addition to Don't Tread on Me and E Pluribus Unum, that one of our mottos was we do what we want, right? I mean, that's, you know, it seems to be ingrained. We'll call it whatever we want to call it. Get your stuff together. Quit being a bully. Just, it just demonstrates such weakness. But Republicans have done it, though, too, Stephen. They have
absolutely
done it, too.
No, this has been bipartisan establishment weakness for a long, long time.
What's the worst that happens if we say it's a visit? What's the worst that happens?
Oh, I think we just get an angrier letter. I mean, really, we've already been poisoned by COVID. We're currently being poisoned by fentanyl. We've already had unfair trade and unfair access that has stolen trillions of dollars from our economy. And they've invested our money that we transferred to them into a military that now wants to threaten and spy on us and everybody else. So really, if we're just going to tell the truth about, someone's going to come for a visit, and if you don't like it, oh, well, you know, write me one of those letters. I'll put it in the angry letter file and get back to you in due course. That's all that can and should happen. And if they're going to cause a war over something like this, then they're going to cause a war over something anyway.
Yeah.
You're not getting off the hook because you bow to their rules.
That's a really good point. I mean, if you're really just looking to stop some kind of conflict, if they're going to start it over something as stupid as that, yeah, that's a very good point. Stephen Yates at YatesComms on Twitter. Always appreciate it. I hope you have a good rest of your week, my friend. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you very much, Dana. Take care.
You too.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
They want to reduce the role of parents, and so that they can impose their agenda. That's why Biden says things like, they're not your kids, quote, they're all of our kids. No, they're not your kids, Joe, I'm sorry. And it also took you 4.5 years to even acknowledge your own granddaughter in Arkansas. I'm sorry, that's just the truth.
Well, that's what a slap sounds like, in case you wanted to know. It's whenever you get, well, that's what it sounds like. That was Florida Governor Ron DeSantis over the weekend in Iowa. And he brings up a good point. It took him all that time to acknowledge a little Navy Joan, who's probably going to be the most normal of that family. I mean, think about it. God love her. She's probably going to be the most normal, down-to-earth person who doesn't have to grift off of Joe Biden's merching out of his elected office. Woo! Goodness. Now, make sure that you go and you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack. It's called Chapter and Verse, because there's a lot of stuff that comes out through the week, and we're going to watch the Georgia stuff. I don't want to say, because it's not an indictment. The indictment hasn't been handed down yet. The charges that they might be in the indictment. I don't know how to word this, because it's weird. I mean, How do you post an indictment when there isn't an indictment and the grand jury hasn't even voted? I mean, you got to have charges and you got to have the indictment. That's the way it goes, you know? So it's like you have a horse and a cart. And you put the cart on the horse and the horse pulls the cart. It's not the opposite. I'm looking at King because he's laughing. I mean, how do you even describe this thing? The speculated upon charges, I guess. Anyway, long story short, we'll discuss that in the Georgia thing. We'll also, and tomorrow we're gonna get into it as well, because this was weird. You and Kane found this. This was over at the, I think the Federalist had this story, where the Get Trump Jury for a Woman basically says that the charges look like they're bunk. I'm just trying to figure out the RICO charge, because Georgia has its own state RICO statute, like New York. Like, New York's did theirs for mafia. Georgia did theirs basically for gang crime and, you know, drugs. And it looks like they're like this DA is throwing everything possible in this thing. Whereas Jack Smith had a lot of trouble in terms of specificity with any kind of statute, right? Really a lot of trouble. We talked about that, how there wasn't any kind of, what was the incitement, riot incitement, nothing like that included. So we're going to discuss this, but this is, she's throwing everything at Trump in this indictment. So we'll have some of the latest on this, and we'll get that out to you. We'll follow that. And then also the Hunter stuff, because his lawyers are trying to argue that, oh, no. The immunity actually is binding. Pray tell. So we'll discuss all of that and make sure you sign up. All right, today in stupidity, before I run you totally out of time.
Juan, this is Cut 16. This is our vice president. They're proud of the job that they've done. And in many ways, that's been transformational for our country. That's what she says. And she's not wrong when you think about it. Listen to this.
And I could go on and on and on. There are many things that I'm proud of that we have done that have been, I think, in many ways, and I say this humbly, that have been transformational for our country.
Yeah, transformational is
right.
Wait,
she says this humbly, like that.
Transformed from my accounts to
what has she done,
the
though?
Government.
Do you think she's been getting any of that Biden cash?
She's probably got a Venn diagram for that.
I wonder if they had to give her some so she don't like trip him or something like that. Just wondering. I'm just thinking out loud here. I was like, you know. All right, folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a great evening. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.